When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Yeah.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally picking out the movie you were going to take home with you.
Yep.
Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch. But there was something truly special about making that trip, picking a movie out by hand, and watching it at home alone on a Saturday night in high school because you weren't cool enough to get invited to a party. Oh. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, two dudes who are worse at basketball than Michael J. Fox, Sean Pryor and AJ Venz. How the heck are you?
Yeah,
It's true. He's bad.
He's real bad.
But I think I'm worse.
He's good at, like, three moves. He's good at, like, breakaways, because that's all that happens.
Yeah.
And at layups.
You want to know how good...
There's another one, though. He's really good at, like, jumping into the arms of the fat guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He does a lot of jumping into nothing. but I'll tell you how good I am at basketball. I'll tell you a little story. I actually tore an ACL playing horse.
Ah.
So there you go.
That's not even like you don't have to move.
It's not even a joke.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at basketball, I don't even know what horse is.
Oh. Why are there horses on the field?
On the field? Field. What inning are we in? Yeah, and I'm also not wearing a Teen Wolf costume, so
no.
Don't check out our YouTube at all.
No.
It's really not hot in here whatsoever.
You walked in, and I didn't really notice any different, to be honest.
This is kind
You're just of that hairy. Like.
Shut up, dude. Shut up.
Sean and I are actually that bad at basketball that Mike had to turn into a werewolf to save us in a game of horse.
Yes.
So it's Team Horse.
All right, boys. On this episode, we talk about one of the only basketball movies that I have ever cared to watch, a movie that was number 23, highest grossing movie of an absolutely stacked year of movies in 1985, a movie both capitalizing on and being ultimately overshadowed by Back to the Future,
oh.
A movie that spawned a sequel so bad that it nearly ruined Jason Bateman's career before it even began. We're, of course, talking about 1985's Teen Wolf.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with The Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
We will take it away. If you are new to this podcast, we will be reviewing this movie, Teen Wolf, with a modern eye. But in order to do that properly, we must first discuss. This movie is the definition of nostalgia for a lot of people. 1985, we got to talk about what it meant to us the first time we saw it and what our rating was. AJ, what do you think?
When I saw this movie, my mom really wanted my brother and I to watch this movie. I don't know, maybe it was to hopefully think we'd take up some sports.
Yeah.
All I wanted out of the movie was to be able to turn into a werewolf.
Yeah.
So I think it backfired. I became weirder, not more athletic.
Really wanted you guys to just be yourselves.
Yes.
That's what she was trying to say.
Be yourself. Anyways.
Joyce.
Mickey Snow Angels. Okay. I remember loving this movie as a kid. I thought it was awesome. I don't know what platform it was that I saw, if it was TV or like we had the movie or something, but I do remember very distinctly watching it and watching it over and over again and somehow still only picking up pieces and parts of the movie. So that being said, though, I really loved all the pieces and parts that I saw. And that is going to have to give it – I would honestly give this – I'm going to give it a 7.8.
So, what age? Sean, how about you?
Yeah, this is like I'm a broken record, I think. But like, while I'm just like consuming auteur directors, I just had to get all of the films of Rod Daniel in there, and you just have to see them all. And yet, yeah, you know, I've never seen this.
No!
Roddy Rod Daniel, you've never seen.
Yeah. Wait, you've never seen this anymore?
I've never seen Teen Wolf until a few days ago.
Wow. Have you ever seen like the modern day bullshit, like teenager Teen Wolf, like MTV kind of stuff?
Like, I mean, I've seen advertisements for it. It's more like Twilight than anything, it seems like.
Wow, that's an NA.
Okay.
I think it's been a little while for an NA Sean.
I've been waiting a long time to watch this movie, though, and I'm stoked.
Is that why you kept being like, I'm so excited? Yes. Like, because you were trying to trick us to be
trying
like,
to
oh,
get
man,
you off the trail.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
For me, so if you recall, we did a top five movies of 1985. This was my number one.
That's right.
In a stacked year of movies in 1985. This movie, man, like you give me Michael J. Fox and feed it into my veins when I was younger. Like Back to the Future was one of my favorite movies ever. So Teen Wolf, I mean, like, how could you not love Michael J. Fox and anything that he does? And surfing on a van?
Yeah, come on.
Oh my God. It there was awesome. There so for me, I'm gonna call it a nine.
Niner.
Executive producer Josh Miller, our boy, thanks for being here with us. This one is pretty exciting for me. This is the first time I've had the chance to review a movie that I haven't seen in days. By days, I mean years. And by years, I mean decades. I know that this was a mid to late 80s movie, and last I saw it was probably in the 90s. Or last time I saw it was in the 90s. My only memories are Michael J. Fox surfing on top of Boner's van. Was his friend's name Boner, or was that Kirk Cameron's friend in Growing Pains?
I think that's it.
Yeah. Oh, what a time to be alive. The 90s where your friend's nickname was Boner, and it was just accepted. Ah, sidetracked again. It also had the dude from Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure. I remember liking this movie. Clearly, it wasn't such a great movie that I found myself thinking maybe I should watch that again. From what I do remember, I did some questioning of how him becoming a wolf made him instantly a basketball star. Like I get that it could help him become more athletic, but not naturally give him all-star basketball skills. I get that's pretty assumptive of me. Maybe werewolves are amazing basketball players. Nonetheless, I'm looking forward to this. My nostalgic score is a 6.23. So that takes us to a 7.67 nostalgically, which, you know, that's pretty high up there. That's going to be top 30. That's going to be just better than Home Alone and just worse than Out Cold. Worse. Is how we feel about that nostalgically.
Okay.
Okay.
But once again, I don't even know why we do nostalgia.
I don't know.
It means nothing.
That's what we
don't even post them because they're so bad.
It's something fun to talk
about.
It's
the most important thing to me. It's the most important thing.
So if you only have, let's say you woke up and you're like, oh my God, I forgot to do Teen Wolf and I only have 30 minutes to prepare. Your nostalgic score would be the first thing you would work on.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh God, I really got to think about this nostalgic score.
Go back and remember, AJ.
I have to meditate.
Is that why you're making it up on the spot?
I just basically pull a Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bloodsport and like, I just sit there for like literally 45 minutes. Just doing the splits.
You astral project from to the past just to figure it out.
I stare at a samurai sword and then I just think.
For 10 minutes.
And then a kid walks in the room wearing a New York Giants shirt and a San Francisco Giants hat.
Yes.
And goes, ah.
What do you think I'm doing about that?
What are you doing?
Let's do Bloodsport again.
Well, we should go back and do Bloodsport. I told you I love the nostalgic rating.
Anyway, we got to strip away that nostalgia now, so it all starts with diving deep into this movie. Sean is going to hook us up with the important and pertinent details of the movie. What you got, man?
These are pretty important. Produced by Scott Rosenfeld, Jeff Loeb, and Mark Levinson. Written by Jeff Loeb and Matthew Weissman. Cinematography by Tim Sturstedt. Nice. Edited by Lewis Freeman Fox, hyphen.
Oh.
Music by Miles Goodman, makeup effects by Tom Berman, and directed by the one and only Rod Daniel.
Yeah.
Cast, Michael J. Fox, James Hampton, Susan Ursity, Jerry Levine, Matt Adler, Lori Griffin, Mark Arnold, Jay Tarsis, Richard Brooks, and Mark Holton. Teen Wolf was one of Jeff Loeb's first scripts he ever wrote, and after the success of Valley Girl, we will cover Valley Girl.
Mm.
He probably went for the will.
No,
that's
we
how
will.
You can tell the difference.
Yep.
We probably will. That's a nice way of saying we probably won't.
Yeah. We'll get to it. It'll be like towards the end of the career.
You know? Like, I'll think about it.
Yeah. He's after the success of Valley Girl, which Loeb also wrote, the studio wanted a movie that was inexpensive and could be filmed quick. While on his show Family Ties, Michael J. Fox co-star was pregnant, so filming...
Sorry, it's just like, oh no, that's a perfect premise for a great movie. We want it done quick and cheap. Hurry. Yeah. Give us a werewolf movie for quick and cheap.
We need a movie to be just half-assed right now. We just need content. They're like early Netflix frame of mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll start it over. While on his show, Family Ties, Michael J. Fox's co-star was pregnant, so filming halted on the show for 6 weeks. Fox was cast in the film, and the whole thing was shot in those 6 weeks. Principal photography began in November 1984 and concluded that next month. Right down the street where Teen Wolf was shooting was a little production doing some location scouting for a film called Back to the Future, which, of course, at the time had a different lead in mind. Teen Wolf was supposed to come out in 1984, but was pushed back to 85 when Back to the Future was a massive hit. Wanting to bank on the popularity of that film and Fox in general, that's exactly what Teen Wolf did. So they had, like, the marketing for this. Like, even, like, overseas, they had the movie called Boy from the Future, which Teen Wolf has nothing to do with time travel or anything like that.
Dude, they
and even on the poster, it was like, Michael J. Fox is back from the future and in Teen Wolf.
Does that just show you how dumb foreign audiences were at that point? Because they literally, they're like, we know you don't care.
Yeah.
We're just going to do whatever we can to make sure you remember that this guy was in Back to the Future, so you watch this movie.
I still think that it's kind of done like that to this day because, like, you know, Bruce Willis is still a bankable name in, like, China or, like, Japan or something like that. You know, like, in whatever he's in.
Hasselhoff.
Like,
the David Hasselhoff effect. Yeah, exactly. That's basically what it is.
But, dude, so that was in Brazil. They changed it. They changed the name of the movie to Boy from the Future. Yeah. In Italy, they changed the name of his character to Marty.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They're like, his name's Marty. It's
just call him Marty.
Just call him Marty. They're like, well, no, we already wrote that. Like this. There, it's the movie. They're like, yeah. Well, when we overdub it,
we're doing it's gonna be, it's we're doing be it over again. It's like a rewrite.
Yeah, isn't that insanity?
What the heck?
American poster read Michael J. Fox's Back from the Future or whatever. The film was released on August 23rd, 1985, and opened at number 2 at the box office, right behind Back to the Future. On a budget
still there.
On a budget of $1.2 million, the film would gross a worldwide take of $80 million, get a sequel, a short-lived animated series, and a more Twilight than Teen Wolf MTV original series. And that is all I got.
I want to bring this up because I didn't realize that they completely wrote and filmed this prior to Back to the Future, but they released it after Back to the Future. So it's very easy to pigeonhole Teen Wolf as being like, oh, it's just a kind of a ripoff of Back to the Future. But they had already done it.
Mm-hmm.
They had already done it.
Yeah.
Think about these similarities. It was released in the same year, both starring Michael J. Fox as a teenager who worries about not realizing his potential or being cool. Both express these sentiments early in the movie while walking through town with a girlfriend. Both face evil, large bullies. Both have a principal who hates their guts.
Yep.
Both movies have a scene where a girl forces themselves on top of Michael J. Fox.
Both have a overarching like father figure or father in Doc and his actual dad in this.
Mm.
Yeah. That's insanity, kind of, if you think about it. So it's easy to be like, hey, Teen Wolf. Cool.
Yeah.
But actually, more like, hey, Back to the Future, you're ripping off Teen Wolf.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
It really was. Hey, let's take this basic plot line and then just add in different random features. How can we make it crazy? Make him a wolf. Make him time travel.
That's great.
Great. Who should we get for these movies? Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Done. All right, there you got it.
Greenlit.
What about I have an idea for like a teenager who gets his license to drive?
Oh. Yeah.
Who do you think I should
Corey Haim.
Yes. Oh, okay. Good. Yeah.
The Coreys.
The Coreys. Yeah. What about the Frog Brothers? No. All right. Well, we know you got at least one friend who loves this movie, probably a brother, sibling, sister. Hit the share icon, send it to them, directly message it. It's one of the best ways you can help support us. Check us out, confusedbreakfast.com. Go get all that merch. Check out our movie ratings and join the like 1 million people. I mean, it's seriously, Patreon's going nuts, and we're so grateful for you guys. Join everybody else for all this bonus content that we have at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. That is the number one way to directly keep this free and keep cool stuff coming out from the Confused Breakfast. Bonus audio, voting on episodes, private Discord. There's tons of stuff there. Go check it out. Patreon.com/Confused Breakfast.
Oh.
And up next, we get AJ, who does the research for us. Critical fan ratings and reviews. I'm pretty excited for this one.
Give me a case of the tomato meter.
Gross. I can only get tomato meter anymore.
Because he doesn't cue us in. Yeah. You never know what he's going
to
say.
I know. I like to keep
awful,
you on your
awful timing.
I like to keep you on your toes, tomato meter. Yeah, 42%. Sorry. 42% splat.
That is bottom 20 of any movie we've done. That is tied with Rad, which actually feels spot on.
That fits so perfectly.
This makes sense.
Also, it's worth noting that at 42%, it slightly beat out Basketball.
Oh, beat out?
So it's worth noting sports basketball type movie that this is better.
Yeah. Okay.
It's worth noting critically.
I wonder what basketball movies will get out of like above 50%.
None.
We'll find out.
Hoosiers.
The audiences thought 52% in conjunction, but 6.1 on IMDb.
Believe it or not, that is even lower. That's the 10th lowest IMDb rating movie we've done. Slightly lower than Out Cold, slightly higher than Harry and the Hendersons.
Ah.
Damn it.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. Well, we've got some criticals here, guys. The Miami Herald, 25 out of 100, 1 out of 4. The formulae of Gal Next Door and The Big Game are followed so slavishly that it's hard to laugh at Teen Wolf, even on the rare moments when it's original. The script and the direction are simply too lazy, too contemptuous, even for adolescent audiences.
Okay.
20 out of 100. Again, the New York Times, Vincent Canby, he just simply said, for a film that's so innocuous, Teen Wolf is aggressively boring. Aggressively boring.
Aggressively.
I really, really liked that. How about some good stuff here? Okay, we'll hear a couple of these. 10 out of 10. I love him, said J9 Devil.
I love him.
In 2002, J9 Devil had this to say. I have to say, if you haven't seen this film, you are mad. As with all of Mike's films, I would never call Michael J. Fox Mike.
I might consider it now moving forward, now that I've heard someone do it.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first one that called him Mike.
Still no.
Mike, okay. What's up?
Mike.
What's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Mike, what's shaking?
No, you're right. No, he is. You can't call him Mike. He's a... Hi, Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
Like, he's a full name. He is a full name person.
See, that's what I think, too. I think he's a full name. Like, how do you shorten that up? What's up, Michael J?
Nope. Mike J.
J. Fox.
What's up, J. Fox?
MJ?
I don't know. Anybody who approaches you is not and never going to call you just Mike. They're going to call you Mike Schlute.
Yeah,
and if
true.
I don't hear anybody do that, I will be super upset.
Expectations. He said, as with all of Mike's films, it rocks. You have to see it. He's my fave actor of all time. I've watched his films since I was very little, and I will continue watching them over and over and over again. Please watch them.
I like, you know, you for all the people you get out there going, don't waste your time. I like the ones that are. I like the ones that plead for it. They're like, no, come on,
like please.
I know that you've come here and you're about ready to hit play, but you want to make sure.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, go for it.
Yep,
I like that guy.
He sticking to his guns. You got to give him some credit.
You have to.
Let's bounce back to some negative here. This is a 3 out of 10. Simply titled, "I thought the hairy kid in school was the weird one." Said smells like cheese. In 2004. I mean, seriously, LOL. They didn't become more popular and get laid. In fact, quite the opposite, LOL. Okay, on to the movie. Teen Wolf was a typical 80s flick. Yeah, he laughs at his own jokes a lot.
We weren't talking about the movie yet?
Yeah, I know. Put a little camp and spoof in the mix and throw in some Michael J. Fox and you've got Teen Wolf. It's an okay movie. Nothing really special. It was pretty memorable for its time, though. Michael J. Fox. What can I say about the guy? He's come a long way, but he's pretty entertaining in this film. I've only seen this a couple of times, and they've both been on TV. So I haven't seen the non-edited version, but I got the idea of what they cut out. If you enjoy 80s movies, you might get into it, but don't expect too much. 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Truthful.
Okay.
Very truthful. Last one, guys. Let's end on a happy, positive note. I think you'll really enjoy this one. This is Talk About Fun. 10 out of 10.
Come on.
2007.
This is just a howdy do good time.
Maybe you'll recognize this. It said Jay Mackerel.
Okay.
Warning, spoilers. In all my career, I think Teen Wolf rates at the top of my movie experiences. Not only was it the first and only time that I worked with my best friend Jim Hampton, but Michael J. Fox and the director Ron Daniels made every day a wonderful time of work. Oh. Thanks to all the folks that saw and loved this movie, I still have people come up to me and say, "Oh, you're the guy who peed his pants." That scene wouldn't have been in the picture if it were not for Jim Hampton remembering an earlier scene, one that hadn't been shot yet, in which he explained to Michael J. Fox that when he showed the wolf to Rusty, the principal, that's me, that's who wrote this review, Rusty lost all of his bodily functions. Needless to say, of all the scenes I did in my 40-year career, I'm probably best remembered for peeing my pants in Teen Wolf. Thanks to all who enjoyed the movie and all the folks responsible for me having the opportunity to work in it. Jim Mackerel.
I really like that.
All right.
Is that our first, like, actor that wrote a review that we've ever had?
I want to say so.
I think so. We've had, like, some, you know, sons or daughters of crew members. But, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, pretty cool.
What made me think is maybe he wasn't invited to, like, the reunion party. his little note to the fans.
Yeah, it's all right. They probably just forgot my invitation.
He seems like a real nice guy. Like, no big deal. Yeah, they probably forgot.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Schlute, temperature check. You doing all right?
Okay. How you doing in there?
Well, you guys, it is hockey season, and the three of us are huge NHL supporters. I was born and raised in St. Louis, lifelong St. Louis Blues fan. The channel that broadcasts Blues games are not available in my area, and ESPN blacks them out, which is one of the biggest crimes against humanity, sporting blackouts. I think that's ridiculous that they think I could drive 5 hours on a Monday to St. Louis to watch a game in person. That is for a whole different show. Luckily, I signed up for NordVPN, and now I can watch every single Blues game. NordVPN provides me with a virtual private network, which essentially creates an encrypted tunnel for my data and hides my IP address, making my virtual location undetectable. This allows me to change my location to anywhere in the world and get access to all the Blues games, as well as movies and TV shows that aren't available in the US and on streaming platforms and services. So all that, plus my internet connection's protected and I have that hard to find virtual privacy. You got to give NordVPN a try. We are so glad we did. We know you will too. Go to nordvpn.com/breakfast to get more info and a free bonus. Plus, it's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Cool. Goodbye.
Give it a shot.
Bam.
We're happy to have NordVPN back with us sponsoring this podcast. Their direct support helps us continue producing all the free content for you. So the best thing you can do is just go check them out. Consider trying their incredible product that we all love and use ourselves. Go to nordvpn.com/breakfast to get more info and that sweet, sweet discount.
Yeah.
Brought to you by your boys at the Confused Breakfast.
That's us.
Well, boys, what do you say we hit the liquor store to buy a keg of beer and then surf the top of our van on the way to the party?
Every time.
There are three rules that we live by. Never get less than 12 hours of sleep. Never play cards with a guy who has the same first name as the city. And never get involved with a woman with a tattoo of a dagger on her body. Mm. If we stick to that, everything else is cream cheese. Yeah. Here we go. So scene one, Scott Howard is an average teenager in Nebraska. He's on the high school basketball team, and they badly lose their first game. After the game, he tries to get advice from his coach and friend, Boof. That night, he goes to work for his dad in his hardware store. After work, Scott stops by the school to drop off supplies for the upcoming play.
I don't know what intro music this is. I don't know what the music is in general in this movie.
I think it's like a heartbeat, but I also think it's a basketball.
Yeah, and it was, I was just like, this is going to open up on like someone tied to a chair with like a weird contraption on them. I was like, is this Saw?
No.
It's not Saw.
No, it's basketball.
I do like the opening shot, though, like the of the light, and then he comes in just drenched.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking sweat, dude. Oh, my God.
One thing I take away from this is wherever they are, it's just really hot there. Like,
does it ever say
they're in Nebraska?
Nebraska,
which means they're in the middle of like they're in like the fall of Nebraska, coming into wintertime for basketball.
Yeah, it's not that humid in the fall.
My God,
I mean, come on, guys! Like, it gets humid around here. Don't get me wrong, but come on, this is it's just they have a they have an they paid somebody too much money to be an on-set spritzer.
Yeah,
right.
from what I gather, like that sweat is real because literally everyone was so bad at basketball that they like had to rehearse an ungodly amount of times running these plays.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That they were so, so bad. So I'm pretty sure all that sweat's real, that they were just like, run it again.
Yeah.
Run it again.
Because I was going to say, you can't be that bad and like look like you're working that hard.
No, you can't. Well, Michael okay. J. Fox proved it.
Yeah. Me, I guess.
I think you're right. I heard somewhere that there's just like an extra hour of footage of just awful basketball.
That he says we'll never see
like,
the light of
the He's like, he can't. It's unusable. It's just unusable.
I'm going to ask you this question a lot, Sean, is like, I can't tell if the sound design in this movie is good or bad. Because there are moments where, like, I kind of like this intro. It's, like, really quiet and nothing's happening. And they're not up close on their voices. Like, it's like you're a spectator standing back hearing things in the distance. But at some points, I'm just like, what is going on as far as the sound goes? But in this intro, I kind of dig how it's just quiet and it's just, like, boring. And because that's what they want you to feel like, oh, my God, we didn't even win the game again. You know?
Yeah, I like it. I thought it was a cool choice. I was like, kind of like, oh, like this is bringing in some weird stuff already. You know, it was like not an average teen 80s opening, I guess. But I really think that, speaking of the sound design, I think it's just because it was done in 6 weeks.
Okay. Like, so they accidentally succeeded in a few things.
Yeah, well, filming, I guess, was 6 weeks. But like, I'm, you know. And then they also had time.
Was it even that long? I have to ask this. Was it even that long?
It was a month.
It was like a month long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 20 some odd days that they spent like filming this. That was that quick.
I have to assume it's that. Like, you know, and the budget is 1.5 isn't that great, but
well.
Can I ask you guys?
Yes.
If you recognized the Dragons coach?
Yes. I did.
Did you, like, right away, were you like, oh, my God, I know who that is?
Yeah, this time around, I recognized who it is. I can't tell you a role, though.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you...
So you don't.
Oh, I know who it is.
Okay. His name, he's the Dragons basketball coach.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's like, we're not going to forfeit. His name is Troy Evans. He plays Roger Pedactor in Ace Ventura.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's like a very weirdly young, like, he only... What is there only like 8 years difference between Ace Ventura and this? And he looks much different.
Yes, he
the
does.
Hair. Ace Ventura. It's the hair.
It's the hair.
And maybe the weight, I think.
Absolutely.
Roger Pedactor is the coach in the Dragons.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of the Dragons.
Yes. I hope you're going to say what I think you're going
to
say.
Do they go to the same school?
No.
That's what I'm like.
It's like, no, okay, I get it. Oh, small town, Midwest, Nebraska. It's like, well, we just need. There wasn't enough schools around, so we just made another team.
No.
What the heck?
We need someone to play, right?
I don't buy it. If anything, I would buy is that a team from a college? Because they all look like they're 30 years old. Like,
yes.
Yeah, they all look like they all have like kids in high school themselves.
Now, I'm guessing this is like Lincoln, Nebraska, Omaha, where there's multiple high schools in town.
All right.
But the state championship, they could be from anywhere.
That's true.
But Nick, is it
Mick?
Mick.
Mick. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. He goes to that school.
No, he doesn't.
No?
No. He's just dating as a girl in the school.
He just shows up during
school hours.
He's never in the school during school hours. Tell me a time he was there during school hours.
Well, is the play not during school hours?
No, because he was rehearsals. Michael J. Fox was delivering to the school, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that checks out.
Just think about it.
Well, speaking of,
just think about it. Think about it, guys.
You're not proposing, are you?
Mike's fan. Mike's
fan theory. Whoa. Oh, man.
Here's my theory. Mick didn't go to their high school.
Holy shit. What?
And speaking of their ages, Chuck, the big guy, looks like he's 43 years old.
Yeah.
In a locker room full of kids.
He just seems like the kind of guy that just always looked old. You know, people just look old. Mm-hmm. I think that's how old do you think he was?
There's some kids like that I went to high school with that had bagel heads already. Like they were already losing their hair. Was, you know, just like a skullet. Just like
reverse
no
yarmulke?
No hair. Yes. No hair right here, but everything else is good.
Are you talking about the monk haircut?
Yeah.
Oh,
whatever
okay.
you want to do. Whatever nationality you associate with it. Whatever.
Do you think I'm going to make a proposal that the best character of this movie is the coach, is the Beavers coach?
He's very funny.
It's great listening to him. And
yes.
Just, He's
a horrible coach.
He is the worst coach I've ever heard seen in my life. This is not Coach Carter. This is Coach, what is it, Flintock or something?
I don't even know. I don't really think they say it much.
I read it at one point, and now I can't. I don't even care.
Let me give you some advice. This kid came up to me and said he had to quit because his mom had a pin in her hip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And they were super poor.
No, I don't know what you're saying at all. What does this have to do with me?
Look at the shoes? Look at the shoes that other teams wearing. If my guys had shoes like that, we'd be killing them.
Always chewing gum. Yeah. Fucking love it.
Well, and I love how he's like, you guys know, I say this all the time, you can always come to me with problems. And Marty's like, puts down his bag. He's like, okay, well, I do have a problem. He's like, oh, shit. I didn't think anybody would actually talk. And that Molly, my wife, pointed this out. On the outside of the door, it says, no students allowed. is that just a funny joke that he put on there? Just be like, no, you can't come in.
No.
I told you can come talk to me whenever, but sorry, the sign.
You can't. He's equally the best and the worst because it's incredibly frustrating to listen to him because – the way he's saying it sounds very sincere.
Yeah.
It sounds very sincere. It's like, hey, guys, you know what? What did I tell you about trying? You know what I mean? You don't want to be trying too hard. You're going to just disappoint yourself, guys.
Bad, so you're sweating.
Get out there. Don't try too hard. Like, what are you talking about?
He's so eager to throw in the towel, too.
He does actually throw a towel at some point. Come on, let's just forfeit. Forfeit? What are you talking about? There's valuable lessons that can be learned from losing.
Exactly. I agree.
See? I do, too.
There you go.
Boof.
Boof.
What do we got to say about that?
Why do we have to say that for a name? Like, what is that a thing? I've never heard the name Boof in anything but this.
Apparently, the writer, it was based off a real person, like his ex-girlfriend or something. Her name was like Cheryl Boof, like mac and cheese, macaroni, or some shit.
Hey,
like,
cool.
For real.
Great, but why do you have to name one of your characters in the movie Boof?
Like, isn't that like another thing for, like a euphemism for fucking?
For sexing?
Yeah.
Isn't that another word for like a taint? A boof?
I bet it's everything.
Bonch? Gooch?
I feel like you're both right. And because I think it's subjective. I think you can do exactly, again, you could use it just however you want, actually. But I don't know why it has to be the main other love interest that we have to hear it said so many times.
Oh, hey, Boof.
What about like Rachel? Or how about Stephanie? Oh, Pamela versus Stephanie? That's Pamela versus Boof.
Boof.
Boof. You Pamela? Even have to look weird when you say it.
Boof. Boof.
Boof.
Ooh, ooh. What about Cheryl?
Cheryl? I think Cheryl would work for me. Yeah.
Maybe that is her name, and that's why she went with Boof.
She does have a name. Like, I think the credits or the IMDb says a full name with Boof being a nickname.
Yeah.
But, like, why?
Why did she get that nickname?
Why? We don't care.
Too many, like, it's 3 minutes in the closet or whatever.
It's such a that's a good point. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
did you boof her?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Did you guys boof?
Okay. Who hasn't?
I'm so boofed.
When he goes to work for his dad, I've seen this movie a million times, but I've never once thought about how if his dad is also a werewolf, spoilers, why doesn't his dad hear the dog whistle?
Mm.
Is his dad just like used to be in a rock band and his high frequencies are gone?
He's got tinnitus.
He's got tinnitus.
Yeah.
It's tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Yeah. Sorry. But I also, in a world, I also like to picture that as Michael J. Fox comes around and grabs this, hits that out of his mouth, that his dad is just about ready to come around the other corner to do the same thing. And he's like, oh, yeah. Cool. Oh, my son got it. Oh,
thank God.
Oh, thank God. That was going to kill that kid.
Why do we sell these here?
I thought I got rid of these ages ago.
It's like, what the hell? We never sell any of them, and it's just a bunch of friggin' kids blowing on them.
Friggin' kids.
Is it like a hardware store?
Yeah. I think it's a hardware store, yeah.
But they sell, like, just random knickknacks as well.
I think so.
I think the – okay. I'm going to put this into terms Sean can understand. Remember the original Halloween?
No. Yes.
Okay. You know, remember when Michael Myers breaks into a hardware store?
Yeah.
What does he steal from that?
Knives and a couple of masks.
Yeah, like they sell everything.
Yeah, okay.
Back in the 80s, hardware stores, like you got everything.
Well, I do like in the small towns. Yes. You know, you got it. You got me. I'm in.
Yeah.
I do like in the small towns. Like, they looked like there was like, you know, like secondhand like microwaves and shit like on the shelves or like little like toaster ovens and stuff. I like that about shops like that. It's almost like its own like flea market inside of a hardware store. You know,
basically everything, like. It's just a remnant of everything that Amazon destroyed. It's really what it is.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Mom and pop.
Mom and pop dead.
I like his dad in this for whatever reason. I really like his dad in this because he has a hardware store, but then, you know, he seems like he's, you know, pretty handy. He's a good homemaker and stuff. There was like this, there's something I read that he was talking with one of the producers. Or the writers about it. He's like, well, what about my character? And the guy said, all I can tell you is that this guy knows how to make a casserole. Okay? That's what you need to know.
And he just went, got it.
He's like, oh, yeah, no, I get you. No, that makes perfect sense.
Then you know what? If that's the direction he took as an actor, he nailed it.
He nailed it hard.
That direction is like – you're a single dad.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make food, and you have to be handy around the house now, you know?
Absolutely.
I like that a lot.
Before we move on, I forgot this about the coach. I thought of a recasting. Like, I wasn't even trying to think of recasting.
Okay.
But if this was modern day, you know who would play that coach? Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Rudd would destroy that role.
Yes.
Like, in a perfect way.
I'm into that.
Or Jason Bateman.
No. Jason Bateman has to be the dad.
He needs to redeem himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he has to be the dad.
That would be fantastic.
Teen Wolf also.
Next Generation.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf also. I do
love when he goes up to Pamela. He's like, "Hey, can I give you a ride to this party?" He's like, "I have a van.
I got a
without
van.
Windows, and I'm a wolf." Come on.
There's a mattress in the back.
Come on.
There's a mattress in the back. Well, no, seriously, we have to throw it away, but the dump was closed on the weekend.
Yeah,
so.
It's old. You know, springs don't work. It's fine.
We'll even get to it later, but for as like kind of pathetic as his character is, he still goes for it. He goes for it multiple times.
He shoots a shot, you know,
on
and off the court.
He's looking to get his boof on, you know what I'm saying?
Well, why doesn't he do that with boof? I
think that's what it's called when the ball hits the rim and the basketball. It's called boof. Boofed right off of there.
Yeah.
did you score? I boofed it.
Oh, right on, dude. No, the other one.
Oh, my bad. I still don't understand what that means.
I don't either, yeah. Why do we say that?
It's a new slang.
Why do we call that girl that?
I want to just say right before this – the first thing you said about this scene is that Scott Howard is an average teenager in Nebraska. And my question to you guys is, how do we know he's an average teenager? It's not because he just goes out and says, like, I'm just tired of being so average. I'm tired of being normal. I wish I was different. It's like you are just laying all your shit out there. And like, hey, Marty, Scott. We just need some exposition here. Will you just throw it out there while you're walking
in
the street?
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I just pictured while you said that, like that exposition of I'm tired of being so average. I want to be somebody. I just pictured like the writer sitting down being like, okay, so what does the character want? What are his motivations? Doesn't want to be average. That's good. That's good. I'm following the rules. Following the rules. I'm a good writer. I'm
good. This is nice.
I'm really good. This is going well.
I will make a case, though. We can move on. I'll make a case that this is kind of a Dave Morgan situation.
Ooh.
Okay. You want to make that as we go along?
Yes.
Okay, that's going to be – that's Sean's directive moving forward.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Before we go to scene two, we got to talk about Cedar Ridge.
Every time.
Duh. Cedar Ridge whiskey, the best whiskey on the face of the planet, of the earth. If Scott Howard would have had Cedar Ridge whiskey back in the day, he could have lured no, – no, I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, that's what you get for not going down the notes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have the notes.
It's going up top of your dome, man.
Wait, why is that on top of your dome?
This
is
risky the last move, and you took it. All right.
No, Cedar Ridge
whiskey,
you guys,
over here.
We have some very exciting stuff that we will eventually be telling you about. It may or may not be that the Confused Breakfast is getting their own whiskey.
Well,
it may not have anything to do with that at all. But you know that if we were going to get our own whiskey, it would come from the best whiskey distiller on the face of the world.
Give me a barrel of whiskey.
Is exactly what you should be doing at your local distributor. You should be walking in saying, give me a barrel of Cedar Ridge. I'll take the bourbon. I'll take the quintessential American single malt. I'll even take the collaboration we slept from.
Fuck it, dude. Fuck God. Mark of the beast.
You need to be doing that. And if you cannot, if they turn you loose and they don't believe that you're a werewolf, you go online, cedarridgewhiskey.com. You order it straight to your door. Stuff that Scott Howard could never do back then. He could never order whiskey and kegs of beer straight to his door. You can now.
Yep.
In most states, not all of them, but that's really all I got to say about that. I thought that was my best ad read ever.
Some things we do need to script. We should remember that. Yeah. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
I loved it.
All right, so scene two. After dinner with Dad, Scott's friend Styles picks him up. He buys a keg of beer, and they go to the party where he's denied by his crush Pamela and shares an interesting moment with Boof in the closet. Scott gets home and makes a full transition to a werewolf. He also finds out that it's hereditary and his father can change as well. Sean, 15 minutes and 30 seconds till the first note of music in this movie.
Really?
It's
a weird spot, right?
And it takes that long to even hear a note of music, and then even when it does, it's when he walks out of the liquor store. Yeah. It goes bam, bam, bam,
bam, bam, yeah. Dang, dang.
You're like
bam, 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 bam. It's like I can't decide if I like the soundtrack or not.
I decided on the last watch that I do not.
There's one song I'll argue later on that I do.
Sure.
The score I don't like. Soundtrack is a different thing.
Some of it I do.
Is it?
Here's the thing. Some of the music choices later on, fine. However, then they don't even do it well, in my opinion. We'll get there. But in reference to this, dun 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 dun. There should have been like a visual stinger to happen with it, but it's not. It's just a faraway shot of the liquor store.
I kind of like that shot, though.
I like the shot, but it's just like, and ding, ding, ding.
I don't even like beer. I don't even like beer. Never say die.
The composer, Miles Goodman.
Okay.
I think he's writing a different movie. And he's like, oh, we're doing an 80s werewolf movie.
Oh.
And so we need some music for it.
So you're going to need some like stinger things.
We're going to need some scary kind of, detuned kind of sound, ooh, right?
Oh, I thought.
Reverb. Throw some reverb.
Some dissonant kind of notes in there. Yeah.
I thought you needed like an alternative like menu song for Pac-Man. Oh, damn. Like, what the hell, man?
Hey, Nintendo's going to be in
this. This is the scene where he's denied alcohol. He's like, oh, God, yeah.
I do love Styles a lot, though. I love, hold on.
Ooh,
here's a prop.
His leather jacket. I want his leather jacket real bad.
Okay.
I do love Styles. I want to talk about him
almost,
more.
I almost hit the punchable face button because I was like, you're going to punch Styles?
No.
All right, AJ, what are you thinking for a prop, dude?
There's only so many things in here. I don't know, man. Like I literally was looking for a prop this whole time.
Yeah.
And
there's
I didn't take it away anything like, oh, I gotta have it.
Can you take one of his t-shirts? Can you do that for me? Like, would you like one of his t-shirts?
Me?
Yeah.
I would love the, there's the Dick Nose shirt. Like whatever you look at, or actually, no. What's the obnoxious one? It's the blue one. It says obnoxious.
It says, oh God, what does it say?
It's something like that.
It's not obnoxious. I think it says, oh no, it was obnoxious. The movie.
That's right.
Which I don't even understand, but I kind of like that.
Yes. See, I like it too, because it's the ambiguous, you know, you don't quite get it. Like there's the first one though, too.
Life sucks, then you die.
Then you die.
That one's great.
Yep. What are you looking at, Dick Nose? Drunken State, Florida. Yeah. Wolf Buddy. See, I want to kind of do a thing where I want to bring back bumper stickers. Like, I want to make that a thing.
Oh, okay.
I think the world should get back on that train. So I want a I Heart Team Wolf bumper sticker.
Yes.
I'm going to buy it from Styles Stores, support local.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk up and make sure my money gets in his pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
For his you know, entrepreneur stuff.
Yeah, you got to appreciate that.
But speaking of Styles shirts, I love how his dad has his back to him. He goes, hey, what's up, Mr. Howard? He goes, Styles, nice shirt. And because he just knows he's going to have
got a stupid freaking shirt on.
It's a genius writer.
I know. Oh, I love that so much.
Did you guys get a chance to watch the trailer for this movie?
No.
I didn't watch it.
I'm glad that we don't play the trailer. I'm sorry if you're listening and you have a movie podcast. I hate when you guys play the trailer because it's just boring. Like, trailers are supposed to be visual, right? I don't want to hear it. But yep. I watched this. It's quite possibly the worst overdub in history.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's when he goes, the give me a keg of beer. Give me a keg of beer.
It's like someone doing their worst Robert De Niro. It almost sounds like Italian, like he's threatening him.
Are you serious?
And he's like, give me a keg of beer.
I don't even know what they were thinking. And there's just like happy music going on in the background. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I think they wanted to really make sure that people didn't think it was like a horror movie. Almost.
Well, they did a really good job.
But even then, that's a fail though, right there. To redo the audio and all that stuff just to make sure that people don't think it's like a horror movie, because this is coming out when a lot of werewolf movies were hitting. Like there was like almost like one or two almost every year for like from 81 to 86 or something. Like. And a lot of them were obviously just horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and it's like, well, we've got Michael J. Fox, who's an up-and-comer, and we need to make sure people know that they should come and watch this movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a silly thing.
Do you guys help me out? I thought there was another movie that has been made at some point in the world where somebody goes through a lot of trouble to bring alcohol to a party, and they get to the party, and they're like, yeah, set it over there. Am I just thinking about this movie? Maybe. I thought it was Superbad for a second, but that doesn't happen in Superbad. They're like, yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
Seth's here.
Yeah.
If anybody out there is listening and you can help me out with this, maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like this happened in another movie.
The only thing I can think of, and it's totally not it, but White Hot American Summer, where he comes out of the gas station, like head down, like,
yeah. Definitely not it, but awesome.
Fucking love that. Oh, no, Kurt Down.
Oh no, Kurt. I do think that that's very funny though. I'll be honest with you. I think it's very funny that he shows up. He's got this keg.
They're not gonna let me in if I don't bring the booze.
Yeah, and then the guy on the counter is just like, if we don't get to it tonight, just take it home with you. but that was actually Styles surfing on top of the van though too.
He didn't have a stunt double.
He didn't have a stunt double or anything while they're coming up to the party. He had no. It was actually Styles. He was. Mm. He had like a safety wire going up through his pants, and that was the real dude. What's his name? Something
Jerry
Levine.
Levine. Jerry Levine. Levine.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I that's the most memorable thing to me about this movie.
I think when it's I was awesome. A kid.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Why?
Why do that?
Why do you think it's awesome?
Because it's so awesome.
No one else has ever done.
You're
that.
On top of a van while it's going, dude.
I think about this and I'm like, why are they doing this? Like as a kid, I'm thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. Oh, Beach Boys. I love the Beach Boys.
No, oh,
I mean,
oh,
yeah, I can do without that.
Surfing. I love the Beach Boys now, but now you have like, they're just going down. And I just imagine like seeing it, like just walking down the street. And then you look up, you're just like, What's that guy doing? And it's just.
And we're pretending like he can hear the music too.
Yeah.
No way he can hear the music.
He can't hear
sound
shit
systems
there.
Were garbage back then. You it's got just, wind yeah. noise.
Just your tweeters and your fucking van. Yeah.
Nobody can hear anything. And you just have him just up there doing just like. Yeah!
It's like an It's Always Sunny moment where they think they're doing something crazy and it cuts to them going,
yeah, I'm feeling alive tonight.
Yeah, it's just like they and by the way, they roll up to the party this way. Nobody sees him. So any cool factor that was going to come from this, nothing.
I'm also a big fan of that 80s trope where when there is a party,
yeah,
there's always people outside dancing.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, again, great sound systems back in the day where they're like, yeah, there just wasn't enough room in the living room, so we're just going to dance out here.
Yeah. Like, we're having our own party outside of the party.
But to the same music.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Okay, so.
We cracked the window a little bit more.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Boof.
Thanks, Boof.
Will you boof that boof?
Somebody crank up the boof box.
We're trying to boof out here.
Crank up the boof box.
Wait, what's that volume? Wait, what'd you say about my box?
Shut up, boof. Damn. So, Pamela Wells and Nick aren't together. I heard Nick the whole way through. Yeah. They aren't together, I swear. It's like, they seem a little bit together. He gave her a kiss, came and picked her up from the acting thing, yeah. Smacked her ass. Yeah. It looked pretty consensual to me.
Yeah,
it did.
So, I mean, we find out later that Pamela is like, eh. But to Mick,
yeah,
he's none the wiser.
She's, you know what? She's just living life. Okay, guys?
Yeah, that's fine.
You just do you.
Obviously, it's hurting Nick, Mick.
Nick? Nick, Mick.
Mick? Is it Vic?
It's Mick. It's Mick. So I love Styles at this party. Like, yeah. Styles is a guy I want to know. Him just taking over the party. And it honestly makes I like this scene a lot. I like the weird music in the background of this party. But I have to say, I don't understand the games they're playing, because we've got some easy, fun games, right? We've got the Jell-O tits. We've got go in the closet and make out. We've got go to the other room and get naked and change outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these are really fun games. But somehow someone drew the card of get naked, tied together in whipped cream on the floor for 5 hours.
Shaving cream.
Like, why that? How did they get that?
Hey, you know what? They had to be not a phone in sight. They had to be very creative back then. You know, they had to come up with games. They had to, like, you know, they didn't have many drugs there. It looked like they had booze, but they had to do something. They needed an activity. So you just,
I'll be honest,
tie each other up. And
even, I don't,
what?
These parties are wild. Even if we did have phones, if it was a party like we were going to or something, and we did have phones, we'd be playing that game where you, like, play the thing on your head.
You know? So you're saying in 40 years somebody's going to look back at us doing that?
Yeah. And they're gonna
be like, Pamela Henderson.
Richard. They somehow find...
Bath. Ah, fuck.
They somehow found someone's, like, mom and had her wear lingerie and, like, hand out the things to Styles.
Yeah.
Why? Who the fuck was that?
Oh, that's Styles' hooker.
I'm into it. I believe it. Because she looks like, first of all, she's wearing lingerie and she looks like she's 40.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I think she looks like she hands out cigarettes at the casino or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What
and she
looks
came
like.
From work. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I got to do that party again.
Dang it. Styles.
Styles.
Did.
I owe Styles.
He
helped me out.
Yeah. I gotta go.
Is it Styles? It's not his house, right?
No. This is where they brought the keg, yeah.
But I like Styles, but, like, how is he the life of the party?
Because he wasn't cool enough when he showed up with the keg. They're like, oh, fuck Styles.
So he had to come up with these weird fucking games.
Well, if he's the one who's going to get you laid, you know, he's coercing the boofness, yeah. I guess. So
when he, looks so
turning
cool.
up the boof factor.
He shuts the door and he just goes,
yeah,
like, and everybody converges on it. Like, he just looks so cool during the scene. He's like the guy you want to be in that in high school. Like, I'm just the cool guy, man. Everybody likes me.
He is. He's the floater of this high school. He must be. He just floats amongst like all the different groups of people and everything. And
he's a Spicoli.
He's a Spicoli kind of.
But you kind of think there's something deep, dark down inside of Styles. Like maybe his home life sucks. Like, don't you feel that? He's, oh, dude, dude, he's a vendor. He's a vendor that didn't turn to aggression, really. Like,
yeah.
He turned to, like, social acceptance, but also, like, kind of running a few cons here and there. But, like, I wonder, like, you know, we don't meet his parents. He doesn't do anything, like, extra. He's not forced into extracurricular stuff. He's never studying. Yeah. He got a D-.
He's like a Stoney. Kind of, too.
Yeah.
Stoney was still kind of, like, weirder, I think. But at the same time, he's kind of another Stoney.
Yep.
You know?
Stoney meets Bender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, 100%. That does sound like the coolest person I might know.
That's what I'm saying.
Dang it. God, he if would be Steve, friends with Steve Kuzer.
If only Steve Kuzer showed up. Steve Kuzer showed up and cleaned.
Steve Kuzer?
That was Steve Kuzer's house.
Yes.
Oh.
I also had a – so – first off, before I say this, what do you think about the werewolf transformation?
You know, it's no Rick Baker. It's no Rob Bottin.
How did they make his, like, face pulse and stuff like that?
That's The Howling did it, Rob Bottin.
This is – look.
Yeah.
This transition, you might just have Thriller playing in the background.
Yeah.
Just have Thriller playing. He looks like he's on the set, like changing with Michael Jackson. You know, the Fox and the Jackson. You know,
Michael Jackson Fox.
Yeah, Michael Jackson Fox. Michael J. Jackson Fox.
Michael Jackson Fox.
You didn't know that was his middle name, Jackson.
Yeah.
All right.
Kind of weird.
I like to think in this alternate universe in my head that. His dad is so sure. His dad's like, oh, shit, we thought it was going to skip a generation. I've seen this before. I know what's happening. I know this is going to be his first transformation. Scott, you got to let me in. Scott, you asked for it. And, like, he turns into a wolf. The dad does, and he busts through. And Michael Jackson's just, like, looking at his dick, and he's got, like, a spot on there. He's like, I told you wouldn't understand. And he's like, oh, shit, you're a fucking werewolf. Oh, my God. Like, there was not actually a wolf.
Oh, I thought you were turning into a werewolf.
You thought I was a werewolf?
Yeah, for sure.
I fucked Boof.
You're being all weird, dude.
I Boof, and now it's weird.
I boofed Boof.
Dad, you're a werewolf. Son,
all right, you asked for it.
That's my alternate universe. He goes because he even goes. You asked for it.
It's like a grandma's boy too, where that mom busts in. He's like, I can't stop coming.
Oh no!
But, like, I did hear that was like one of the funniest. Moment.
Yes, I laugh my fucking ass off. He looks ridiculous.
And, the music's going. And he goes and he just goes. I think it's time for a talk. I think the talk's been long overdue. You're like, oh my God. Like he said, I guess they screened it and people laughed for like an entire minute.
I'm glad because I did too. He does not look like a werewolf. He looks like a baboon.
Dude, it does. It looks like Planet of the Apes at this point. Like, this is what this is. Oh. This is Planet of the Apes.
He looks like a baboon, but if the ass was on the face.
Okay, let's move this on. So scene three, he reveals himself to Styles and then accidentally transforms during a basketball game. With superhuman ability, he leads his team to victory. Scott's new talents lead to major popularity around school, which gets him a date with Pamela and a role in the school play.
One more thing on, I think this in this scene where he shows Styles, right? That
hey, Styles, I got to talk to somebody.
Styles is looking for something, and Styles is like, you can do that on command. Like, you can do that whenever you want. He's like, yeah, but sometimes it just does it on its own. And I'm like, yeah, me too in high school, dude. Sometimes I couldn't keep that thing down.
Is this a metaphor?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of this is a metaphor.
A lot of this is a metaphor. I feel like a lot of this is just one big metaphor.
I feel like this movie like wants to be, I mean, I think it is like a coming of age scene, obviously, but I think it like you could also see it, it's begging to become like an LGBTQ+ kind of thing, coming out kind of thing. Yeah. That's like what I had in my mind the whole time.
I've heard of getting your first pubes, but this is ridiculous. It's like, what are you talking about?
Like, I think you could take it like that, like in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, where it's that kind of same thing. The guy literally busts out of his own skin, you know? Yeah. Like, he's becoming himself. I think you could take that with it.
Yeah. I just, the whole time, it's really just one big hairy dick joke to me at the same time. And the accidental transition, again, I think... at the basketball game or whatever. It's just, this is not how it goes.
Schlute is just fucking, dude, you are dripping.
Dude, Michael was playing basketball with Michael J. Fox and Mick.
I hope you've watched our YouTube by now, because I mean, like, look at this. Look at what I'm doing for this podcast. AJ took his pants off in like a couple episodes.
These are because I like styles. That's all this is. This Sean is committing. It's very, very cool.
That's Sean committing.
I wore these glasses.
I took my pants off. Mike wore a tank top. I mean, come on, guy.
This is what I look like. This is what I look like under my shirts.
I don't know why you're sweating so much.
Yeah, Jesus, dude.
Anyway, sorry. The transition.
No, talk about the transition.
No, the transition is just like, first of all, can we talk about, like, I feel like this would happen almost like some sort of atom bomb. Like, the closer to the center you are, the worse the reaction, right? Because, like, the guy that was on top of him is like, oh my God.
Well, does he, like, if a guy's got skin to skin against Michael J. Fox, does, like, his skin get caught into his, like, turning skin?
Yeah.
And then he's, like, stuck to him?
I mean, think about this. I mean, how you're that sweaty, he's that hairy and everything. And then
he's growling.
Those guys are freaking out. And then, like, he comes out of it. Like, the crowd would literally, like, leave here and he would be shot before people are done screaming. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
There in no world is even if, okay, even if you saw a guy transform into a werewolf and that wasn't enough for you, then he was good at basketball.
Right.
That would do it for me. I'd be like, I'm out of here. Yeah. Like now this guy that sucks at basketball is good at it. I'm leaving.
Did you see, like, his vertical is insane?
Yeah.
Apparently. And they all just kind of go, all right. Actually, the only one that gets it right is Lewis. Lewis is the only one who's like, I don't want anything to do with this guy. Do you know he turned into a werewolf? They're not even real.
He's a caveman.
He's a werewolf.
Yeah. No! Oh my God! Yeah, Lewis is the only one, man.
It's basically Encino Man. Yeah,
this movie's Encino Man.
It is.
Do you want to know what he really is? He's a werewolf.
He's a werewolf.
He's a werewolf. No!
Who's cooler than me? I do. I like, and it's ridiculous and pretty like, capital '80s, but.
Shush.
Sorry.
Boof. Go ahead.
It's ridiculous in capital '80s, but I like that it is that no one cares.
Yeah.
I do like that because it's like there's so many movies like nowadays. Like I was watching this with my girlfriend, she's like, why does everyone just not care? That's stupid. Why are there? And I'm like, I like that though. I like it where like you have that question in mind, but then like this movie just subverts that, like trying to get out of this writing hole and just gets out of it with just like, well, no one cares. How about no one cares? And then we can just have fun with this.
The government didn't show up to be like, did you hear there's a werewolf in Nebraska? We got to go check that out. Yeah. Nobody, they're just like, that's fine.
I liked it. And it was like a town thing. And then, I dig it.
You also, well, you find out later on too, that other people have to have known that werewolves exist in this world somehow. Because his dad was one and was this way to the principal or whatever. Maybe it's just the fact that it's Nebraska and they just need something to talk about.
Well, you see when Scott finally goes, nah, this wave's mine. And Scott does the moto surf. They drive past his dad's store and Styles literally like is yelling and throws an empty beer can that hits a lady in the feet. This lady standing right next to his dad, and the lady's just going, oh, that's great. Like, she's smiling, just going, so great what the kids are doing nowadays. That would not happen.
Well, at least they're staying out of trouble. It's like, that's trouble.
At least the basketball team's doing good. That's all we really care about.
Basketball team hasn't won a game in a long time until this, so I'm pretty happy about it.
They haven't beat the Dragons since ever.
ever.
They're on a collision course in the championship game. I hope they do it.
Yeah.
This arm ready to score about 10 baskets.
Boy, I haven't seen anything this weird since that whole thing with, like, remember the Titans. It's like, this is not, this isn't that crazy.
Remember Rudy
What's
Rudiger?
What's wrong with you?
So, first of all, I thought one of the coolest scenes was when him and Boof were walking up that sidewalk.
Yeah.
And those sidewalks were just, like, up and down.
Halloween. Like, all the hedges and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a very cool scouting job. But at the same time, then I read that this was the same street as a bunch of the Back to the Future houses. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, it is actually Scott's house is Lorraine Bain's house.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually the house.
The house. And then when they're walking, when Boof and Scott are walking from his house, they stop at one point. They stop in front of George McFly's house. Clear as day.
Oh, my gosh.
I will TikTok this.
That's a note from myself.
Yeah, so weirdly enough, they're basically filming the same movie on the same street.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I mean, the parallels are pretty ridiculous, and I commend the movie, to be honest, to wait. Like, Steven Spielberg's doing a movie with Michael J. Fox. Yeah, we're going to wait.
We should just wait.
This.
How much?
Obviously.
How much did that movie cost? Oof. Ooh, well, wow. How long did it take? Who's in it? Oof. Well, we better wait, guys. We better not release early. So we're not, we can't do this. You can't release early.
If you release around when Back to the Future came out, you're overshadowed.
Yeah.
You are a January release.
Yeah. This would have made maybe 8 million, not 80 million, yes, or whatever it was. Yeah.
I'm gonna bring up punchable face. I'm not gonna hit the button yet.
Okay.
No, I'll just hit it.
Hit it!
If we were on a train to go punch a face, yeah, I'm on board.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna pick your punchable face. One of you, this is one of your punchable faces.
Okay.
The drama teacher.
No.
No?
No.
No.
Who do you got then? There's not many. I had only one written down, and it wasn't the drama.
I had one that I would like to say.
Who is it?
It was the kid who blew the whistle.
Do you know why? I think subconsciously I agree with you, and I just figured out why. He looks like Charlie from the Santa Claus. Right. Oh, my God.
He's just got that stupid blank look on his face. Just...
It's broken. All right, nope. I was gonna say the basketball player who's like, we can't play anymore because he's so good. And I was gonna say him, but that, I don't even care anymore. It's him.
Yeah, it's
the kid.
It is.
It's the kid in the shop.
I was gonna say Pamela. She's horrible.
Yeah,
I don't like her.
Yeah, she's a pretty horrible person, isn't she?
But I'm gonna go whistleblower, literally.
Whistleblower. We'll punch the whistleblower.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Anytime there's a kid, I will do it.
Do you think Pamela's literally maybe one of the worst characters ever written into film?
I have to think so.
Because think about what she does, and you can sway me in the opposite direction that this is her choice and she can kind of do what she wants, but she's going to the basketball games at the beginning. Even when Mick is not playing, she's still in the basketball game, so she doesn't give a shit about basketball. She's, like, studying her lines there. She hates Scott. She hates Scott. Like, very mean to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's still having, like, a lot of fun at the party. Like, Mick, you got to see this. He's like, we're going. And she's like, oh, what I was not having fun. Now I'm having fun at the party, but now I got to go. Then all of a sudden, she talks to Scott at the locker. She's like, something's different about you.
Yeah.
Does she smell? Like, is she like a werewolf Pheromones? Killer?
Mm.
Does she smell something?
Oh.
But then she leaves her boyfriend to bang Scott and then go on a date in front of him.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the night, it's like, well, you know I have a boyfriend, right? But then, like, it's this, then at the dance, she's like, maybe I'll dance with you. And then she's mad at Scott for her boyfriend punching her in the face. And then she wants Scott again. Like,
it's the worst, dude.
She's the worst.
It is the worst. And it's not even that she leaves her boyfriend. She literally says, no, he's my boyfriend. Well, what did we just do? You just coughed up a hairball from slobbing my knob, and now
wow,
yeah, but you still got this boyfriend. over here.
Boofing my biscuit. Yeah.
Boofing my biscuit.
I'm all for doing what you want.
He's still my boyfriend. Oh, well, then why did we do that? Because I get what I want. Like, that's basically all she's saying.
I wouldn't mind it at all if it was, like, wasn't hurting anybody. But, like, obviously that, like, her Nick... I can't do it. No. I'm not going to do
it's
it.
It's fine.
I can't do
it's
it.
Flick.
It's fine.
Click.
Yeah. Flick.
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 Yep.
Bick.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, it. Obviously, that sucks. And, like, obviously, in the opposite way, I do blame Scott a little bit, too, because she rejected his advances all of the time. Like, even at the party, he's like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, please don't
you
talk to me.
You looking for anybody?
Yeah.
Not you.
Not you. Not okay. Yet. That's it. That's it, Scott. That yep. is that you know no further.
You could be done.
But did I mean she like brought him into her dressing room?
Well, yeah, I'm saying, you know, like she's worse than him for sure, I think. But yeah, if she's hurting people while doing this, I think it's a bad thing.
Yeah. It's just not a good character.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just nothing there. She just serves the purpose to be like, you gotta feel this way now. Now you gotta do this. Now you gotta do that. She's just I don't know.
I think serves she the purpose just, that like that Scott can get women. While he's a wolf, too.
Yeah.
And Boof is way hotter, dude.
Way hotter. Yeah,
I know. I think that Pamela might just have the same infatuation that Brody does from Mallrats and just wants to see what superhuman wieners look like.
You know?
Yeah. She's like, so wait, if he gets all hairy, does his thing get all hairy, too? Like, all the way up? You know, that kind of a thing?
That wouldn't be good, would it?
I don't think that would be good.
Ladies, get at us. Would that be good?
Good, would it? Would it?
Man,
we're so good.
This is great, great radio.
We are good.
Great,
you guys.
Good wood.
Okay, let's move on.
Cool.
Please.
Scene 4. Scott still isn't sure how to properly handle these powers and fame, which leads to a conversation with his dad. Scott starts to fall for Boof and goes to the school dance, which leads to a fight with Mick and trouble with Thorn. Scott's dad comes to the rescue. I love their relationship. I think the one redeeming quality of characters in this movie is Scott and his dad's relationship.
Yeah.
I love James Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an incredible. I think you got to rank him up as a dad you want, a he's movie dad that
he's
you
lovable.
Want.
Very, very lovable.
He's just there. He's like, I'm here for you, man. I understand what's going on.
He's top shelf. Yeah. Yeah. I really do like his presence. You believe it 100%. Like we said, to a T, I believe that man knows how to make at least several castles.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he can definitely fix a leaky sink.
Yep.
I think he's a total package.
He's playing basketball out in the driveway. He's like, basically, mm-hmm. I got the vibe that he was telling Boof some things. Like, Boof, you gotta stay after him.
Yeah.
Like, I promise you, he'll come around.
He's the kind of guy that, like, if this table was, like, a little wobbly or something, yeah. he wouldn't put a piece of paper underneath. He would actually, like, build a piece of wood to make it better, you know?
And then he would slap it and he'd go, that's not going anywhere.
He's like, yeah, that's not going anywhere.
He makes a casserole, and then when everyone's eating, he's like, pretty quiet in here.
Boy, it must not be very good.
Yeah, don't have the casserole. If I must say so myself.
Midwest,
don't eat it.
Baby. Midwest.
I do like, sorry, fuck, I forgot what I was going to say.
Something about Mick, probably.
No.
How Mick doesn't come from casserole.
He comes from Salisbury
from money.
Steaks.
He comes from money, not casserole.
He comes from jail.
That's right. He does. Don't they say that? Like, he was like, he was in jail or something. Yeah. He got held back.
He did time.
Man. Yeah,
didn't
that's right.
Didn't Mick say to Scott that he blew his mom's head off?
So we're at the dance.
Okay. Well, so one more thing about the dad is that, I forget again, so that's great. So when the writers were going, thank you.
So yes. The dance.
Stop. I have to get this out. This is very important to the three listeners who care about filmmaking details.
Well, and also while pissing off the guy that keeps lowering his star rating because we're laughing during the episode.
I'm gonna forget it again.
Stop laughing.
The two writers, when they were looking for directors for this, everyone else that they interviewed were like, so what movie are we making? They're like, a werewolf movie. And Don was the only one who was like, oh, it's a father and son story. And they're like, yes, you're hired.
James Hampton said that?
No, when the writers were looking for a director, they interviewed directors.
Ah, cool.
And he's the only one who was like,
it's werewolf. And he said, no, it's just father and son story. Yeah. That's really cool. Because I do buy that. I mean, they don't. they don't do a lot of that, but when they do, it's really good.
Yeah.
So that was extremely important. So yeah. We can move
on. It's fine because
I like the idea that there are like lots of directors coming in to interview and like Wes Craven's like, yes. It's a werewolf movie.
I got this locked.
Oh, in. I know exactly what to do with this.
It's the Hoosiers meets Wolfman.
Picture it right now.
Ooh, yeah.
Every director has a vest too, just like a safari vest for some reason.
Stanley Kubrick, what are you doing here? No. No, we don't need this.
Speaking of how this movie is Encino Man, yes. Another case where you're at a high school dance and the cool guy invents a dance on the spot that no one had time to watch TikTok videos or anything. And they go, oh, yeah, so like, yeah. Oh, so the thriller dance? Oh, we're just doing the Thriller dance? Okay, cool. I got it. Yeah.
Monster Mash. Got it. Okay. Got it.
Oh, so now we walk in a big circle? Yeah. We're going in a big circle? Okay, cool. How'd the DJ know to play the song about the Wolfman? Yeah,
I'm glad it was a
the
DJ.
Big Bad Wolf.
When they zoomed out and they showed like the whole party, I'm like, please don't be a band because I'm not going to be able to take this. Yeah. They're just like,
yeah. Big Bad Wolf. And then again. It's at the Big Bad
just
Wolf.
Way off time.
Hey, do we have a song that has a wolf? Is there a song that has wolf in it that we can get for this movie? Yeah, let's just do that. Is it relevant at all other than to say that fact that it says wolf?
No. Nope,
not at all.
Nope.
Great.
But there is the maybe the one song I do like is when he leaves the dance with Boof. I kind of like this moment where she takes him out to the hallway and she's like, I want you.
Taking control.
And she takes control and he turns back into Scott Howard. And then when he walks back in, I don't know. It kind of gives me a little bit of chills when they walk back in and he's himself now.
Yeah.
And they're together and the song has changed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that song. I like that moment in the movie.
That's. I think I agree with you that's like my favorite or maybe only time I really love the music.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just making montages on montages of him just doing wolf activities. And you're just – it's like Wish – Huey Lewis in the News or whatever that's playing under this montage of
you gotta go with the flow, Joe.
who's the other guy?
It's a hell of a show.
Who's the dude? Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Who's that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Randy Newman. It's Randy Newman in the News is what this is.
And they literally, I heard, did you hear during that montage you're talking about the, it's when he's playing basketball. Here's some of the words.
Okay.
Uncle Sam is a commie. Russia's red, white, and blue. So the president lost a screw or two. Anything we can do. That's the song they picked that has
commentary.
To do with
Reagan's 80s.
The war on drugs.
Oh, the man is coming for
you're
you.
Making this a political podcast. Thanks a lot, dude. You like to say that Mick's kind of like you understand Mick. You're like, hey man, dude, this guy F my boof.
He boofed my boof.
But also Mick's kind of a pussy because
he's a dickhead.
Well, but think about this. Mick's a dick. At any point, Mick could go after the wolf.
That's right.
But he doesn't. He just stands there like and then the minute he changes back to pussy little Scott Howard, then he's like, I'm gonna walk up and jack him in the face.
You're still a nerd.
Yeah. He does that. He punches him in the face, and then like I don't get what Scott did wrong here. Mick jacked him in the face with his fist. Scott turned into the wolf and ripped his clothes.
Ah, shirt ripper.
What everybody laughed. Like what was so bad about this?
Yeah.
To where the principal's like, by the way, vice principal. They say that at one point. He's the vice principal.
They're always the ones who are
they're dean of students.
Yeah. So. They think they have more authority than they do.
And how come everybody loves the wolf? How come nobody backs up? Like, Mick doesn't even go to this school. We've established that. Yeah. Mike's fan theory. How does nobody be like, let's get him?
Yeah.
Why? He just attacked our star basketball player. Yeah. They're all just like, oh, whatever. I don't really like Scott Howard.
Well, you know what? I didn't even really like Scott, I guess.
Also, what the friend that was in the beginning, that not Styles with the other one?
Lewis. Yeah.
Whatever happened to him? Because I know he's at this dance, and he's like every time they mention him, he's just there to just be like.
Well, he's the general public. He represents us being like, why the fuck is there a werewolf? Like, how is no one.
Scott. You're not the same.
Dude, there's even a weird moment. Like,
we never play Nintendo anymore.
You always break the controllers.
You're always out with
You always rage quit.
You always reset the Nintendo.
No, but it's like they skipped something. Like something didn't make the movie. Because at one point, remember, Styles buys the new van.
Right.
Yeah. And he goes, awesome. Where's Lewis? And Styles goes, so we'll listen. Just, no, never mind. Like, we're just going to have fun without him.
He killed himself. I hate to say it.
He was really scared to be around you. Yeah. And he decided.
It's done.
He had a heart attack.
Yeah. No, he's still in the end of the movie. He's having a great time.
Styles, what you got going on? You're just like, it's like, would you stop being Marty McFly for 2 minutes, please? I just want to say, Mick is terrible. He just ripped his shirt, and then he goes out into the hallway, and the vice principal catches him, and he says, he's like, I got you right where I want you. Yeah. I want you. Wade Garrett's the best. Like. Because that's who he looks like to me, kind of.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Definitely.
And then, but it's like you said, why? Because what? I didn't do anything. I was mad, and it's a good thing actually I missed and only caught his shirt.
He's clearly holding this grudge against his dad. But that's another thing that they had this chance to do something and they missed. Where earlier on when he's almost going to change in the school.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a cool shot when he's like, don't change, don't change. And he looks down and then he looks up and Vice Principal Thorne's behind him.
Yeah.
It's like, show me your hands. Like, I always viewed that as he was – because he goes, you don't have a marker on you. Like, he's looking for the graffiti guy, but was he looking for him because he knows he's the son of the Wolf Man?
Yeah.
And that's why he's always had his eye on him.
Like, I wish there was like a Van Helsing kind of thing going on. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of a Monster Hunter almost aspect of it.
Maybe that's Pamela.
Maybe. Mm. Well, and then when he did rip Nick's shirt – He had a dagger. Did it not look like a dagger tattoo?
He had like a really weird tattoo.
It looked like a snake wrapped around a dagger.
That he hadn't completed yet. Like, he just got the outline done.
Exactly.
So
weird.
The rules
have
gone
so much. They could have gone deeper into this story and figured some things out.
If they didn't have 1 month to do it.
The rule was about women with daggers, though.
Right.
And tattoos.
Oh.
I don't know, man.
I also, like, speaking of, like, the sound effects and everything, like, we brought up in the beginning, the scene where the dad confronts the vice principal and comes up to him and starts growling, there's no, like, trickling sound you hear or anything, and there's no, like, it doesn't cut to a puddle or anything like that. It's just he growls at him, he's like, and they both look down, I'm like, did he get a boner?
Yeah. Is he turned on right now?
Did he just boof in his pants?
Is this what they mean by bloodlust?
Yeah. Rushes there, yeah. I thought for real.
But you know why it wasn't a boner is because it didn't go boing in the 80s. That's what they would have used in this movie.
Oh. Not again.
Now he's too old for boners.
Yeah.
Anyway, scene 5. Scott decides to play the championship basketball game as himself instead of the Wolf. Everyone wants the Wolf, but he proves to his team that they can do it without the Wolf's powers. This is a great coach moment where he goes, no, coach, listen, I'm just going to be myself. And coach is like, all right, we're going to get our brains beaten in, but like, whatever you want, man. Like, he's like, okay, fine.
He's got the towel ready. Just okay.
I like the fact that everybody realizes what's actually happening here. Like first the other basketball players are thinking, they're like, yeah, awesome, we're winning, and they're like, well, I want to play too. I want to touch the ball and stuff like that. And then they're like, they're in the championship game. It's like, well, you're not going to be the Wolf because
it's a championship game.
It's a championship game. Like, well, you're the reason we got here.
Styles has had his own PR team come up with all the merch and shit.
Like, now they're upset again. Like, he just can't win because, oh, well, he got to the championship game against the terrible Dragons. And now they're upset again. It's like, well, we want you to be the Wolf. I thought you didn't like the Wolf. It's like, well, we want to win.
We don't like the Wolf.
We don't.
But we're literally 3 quarters away from state championship. We hadn't won a game in years. Yeah.
We haven't beat the same team we've played over and over.
No, there's two teams. There's the Dragons and, like, the military team. Yeah.
ROTC.
The Air Force.
No, but this is just such, like, this is what I love and hate about the 80s all in the same moment. Where it's like, dude, they were losing 22-3 after the first quarter. Scott Howard is a terrible basketball player, yet he's a first stringer. So that means like literally all of the rest of his teammates are that roughly that good.
Yeah.
They only scored 3 points in a quarter. The Wolf was the only reason, his supernatural powers was the only reason they were winning games. There's no place on earth in anybody's minds where the same team that only scored 3 points in the first quarter could come back and win this game. I mean, the Dragons are on pace to score 88 points in this game, which means that somehow Scott Howard showing up added a 42% reduction in the Dragons' scoring moving forward. Also, that's 16 points per quarter for his team after only putting up 3 in the first quarter. Scott himself added 18% offense to this team. Again, Scott Howard, not a good basketball player. So really the defense is what ended up winning this game for him, but there's no way this team was able to stop a bunch of high schoolers who look like they were 30 just by adding an untalented 5'4" kid who has to jump to shoot a free throw.
Yeah.
There's this like this in no world would this ever work.
Michael J. We love him.
He's my favorite.
He's not a basketball player.
No, absolutely not. That's the hardest thing to stomach in this is that he's 5'4" and you know, putting up that many points. You're not dunking that. I don't care. No wolf power is going to help your 5'4" frame, bro.
That would just look unnatural.
Yeah, exactly.
And in typical 80s fashion, the song spoils the ending.
Yeah.
Oh, win good. In the end. I'm like, oh, they're going to win in the end.
Yeah.
They hit the first chorus and it's
win
still the second.
Win in the end.
Wait, so you're telling
Ender
me. That's like the Titanic being like, the ship's going to sink at the end of the movie. Treading water while your boyfriend dies. It's like in the beginning of the
Childs
movie.
Is the thing.
Just keep treading water on top of that wooden door.
As they're getting on the ship.
Yeah. And then you've got what is it, like whoever does the safety dance singing this like new song of we can play basketball if we want to. We can win this game in two. It's like, because the fat guy's here and he's so short, but we all just are a crew. Just like, we can blend. We can dance. Everybody dribble your pants. Like, what's going on?
Everybody boof.
Everybody boofing your pants. That's all that's happening here. You're right. It does. They spoil it.
It is like a, it's pretty long montage. And
it's
does,
like 9 minutes.
It does get real old and it repeats shots. The only thing they can do is like knock the ball. Knock the ball out of one of the Dragon's hands and they get a breakaway and then they throw it to somebody else behind the back because it's skillful, lay it up, and then they go play defense, maybe get scored on, then they come back and
Did you see the same exact thing. The editing's so bad in this court scene that at one point, like, they score, the Beavers score, and Scott jumps up into Chubby's arms, and when he does it, the Dragons go down, they go on a breakaway and score.
Would you please pay attention?
Actually, then they wouldn't have had to do the free throws at the end. They would have won outright.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's you can't stop and glow in your 80s montage moment. You can't jump into the arms and do – like he's wanting to do the freeze frame right then and there. It's like you haven't won the game yet.
You haven't won yet.
Jay Fox.
There is one cool shot. Call me crazy, but I slow motion will do it for me in the right moments. There's a scene where the players run past the camera and they're showing the cheerleaders in slow motion doing a dance in front of this ravenous crowd. Call me crazy. I like
there
that.
There you go.
I don't know. It feels good.
All right, cool.
That's a nice scene.
It's that feel good athletic movie, you know, slow mo. It's good. Yeah. They'll get you going.
You know what also feels good?
Tell me.
I guess free balling.
Free balling?
Who was there?
Did you see it at the end?
Who?
Did you see the guy? It's literally like the last shot while the credits are rolling.
They win the game.
Yeah.
Some
Everybody
extra,
leaves the bleachers.
Some extra has his pants unzipped.
Okay.
And is more or less looking like he's got his junk out.
Really?
His junk out. Have you seen that?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
This is famous. This is a famous thing. As a child, I remember a buddy of mine was like, look. The guy jacking off on screen and they missed it.
And we're like, I don't know what jack it off means, but that's pretty cool.
Can't wait to do it someday.
No,
they can't wait to go jack off at the basketball game.
Have you looked any deeper into this? Because,
yes.
Yeah, they completely debunked it, kind of, right?
So there was like a radio station that had this guy. They apparently found the guy who did it. And he called into the radio station and was like, yeah, I don't know. It was just like hot in there. I didn't know they were rolling. So I just kind of took my pants down. And then as they said action, I was like, oh, shit. I had to like – and I had my jacket. I had to kind of cover it a little bit. And then that was completely debunked because in the wide actual – like the widescreen version of it, it's a woman. Not a guy.
Yeah.
And she, I think she just said that, yeah, it was.
She said her, whatever her wardrobe was too tight, like her pants were too tight. So just, she just had it unzipped
and it
sitting,
was kinda,
sitting in the stands. So then when she stood up, she's like, oh shit. I
mean, it looks like there's a, like, I mean, you can't see like the whole thing at all. It's like very blurry, but it looks like it's a guy. If it was a guy, he's like, he's like playing with, yeah. He's like, oh shit. Then he puts his jacket. Sorry, YouTube. I don't know if we can put that on YouTube.
Sorry, YouTube.
Oh, we definitely can. We're going to blur it out. Hey, yes. Aggro Craig, please blur that out.
We're going to put a blur.
But make it really big.
Make it so that when he moves, the blur doesn't move. No, my last issue with this movie, and that I hate it. I hated it when I was a kid. In no world
are you gonna say it?
Do they allow Mick to stand under the basket. In not even in like schoolyard ball.
No.
His team would be like, Mick, you can't do that.
You don't get to stand there doing a Kubrick stare. You at don't. Like that's not what you get to do.
You can't do that. You, in fact, you just fall out. You have to leave. It's a bead of sweat.
His eyes follow the basket. He's like, I love it.
It's very silly. Maybe, you know what? I did think of my a prop that I want. I sincerely want.
A vial of mixed sweat?
Yeah. No, I think I want...
Yeah, no.
No, I want Michael J. Fox's like focus and his knees because that dude is squirrely as hell, and he, at no point does he injure a knee in this entire movie. He takes four fouls in the final game. He slips on wet you know, fours. Yeah. I mean, he is just built so resiliently. I think I want his knees, guys. I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get there his it knees. Is.
That's my final meaningful thought.
That's
you
great.
Know, passionate thought.
That is great. You know?
Is that all we got, fellas?
That is your bender moment.
Knees.
Instead of this terrible freeze frame, by the way.
Yeah.
This might be the worst freeze frame of all time.
They didn't even commit to it.
No. Pamela's like, going like, if you freeze it on her, she's just going.
Yeah.
It's a really bad freeze frame.
Like when I first rewatched it, I didn't know what they freeze framed on.
No one does.
I had no idea.
I think
what
the
they
camera just stopped. Yeah. I think they stopped rolling. They're like, oh shit, we need a little more.
Ooh, keep going.
Fuck, there's no more. Okay, just stop it on that last frame before you hit end. Yeah.
He's hugging right there. Stop.
Cool.
All right, now.
Oh, there's a dick right there. Ah. God damn it.
Who cares?
Leave it.
Back to the Future just came out. We got to get this out. All right, boys. We have stripped away the nostalgia of 1985's Teen Wolf. We have to give it a modern day rating. AJ, what's your modern day rating?
This is really hard because
it is.
I honestly have like a very, very strong nostalgic feeling for this movie. Like I really do. But rewatching it, I just had such a tough time just getting along with anything. And it's, to be honest, I mean, about every single tropey pitfall that you can think of, like the ordinary guy who wants to be extraordinary and the girl who's, you know, looked over and he over for the popular girl and the boyfriend and the fat guy and the crazy best friend. And like, I mean, it's endless, like the tropes that go along in this movie. And then on top of that, I didn't enjoy the music most of the time, which is usually a saving grace. I don't know, man. It's really, really, really hard. So
you have to though. That's the thing. Like
I still enjoy watching the movie. So I'm going to give it a straight up 6.
Sean, what about your commitment to the podcast? You can't quit.
You can't quit.
I think this movie is pretty fun. I do agree with AJ somewhat in the tropiness of it. But I can't knock it for that, really, because it's just, you know, it didn't know what it was doing back then.
It was in the parlance of the time.
It was the parlance of the time. I think it's a great Michael J. Fox movie. I think he's good in this. I think, you know, you can't really go wrong with him, especially in this age. I like the werewolf aspect of it. Like, it's, I've always kind of kept this movie reserved because I'm like, I think I'm going to love it. But some of the music choices is weird. I do like some of the directing choices. They're kind of for this type of movie, you wouldn't expect it to be so a little bit artful. I think this movie is kind of just a straight up 7.
Damn, you're going to give it a straight up 7?
Yeah.
The definition of a 7.
I think so.
Wow.
That was my Mallrats. Like, I was just like, this is a 7. For me, AJ, I agree with you. It is so hard for me to strip nostalgia away from this. We're trying. That's what we tried to do, and we did in this thing. But, man, I mean, like, this was a big part of my childhood. I watched this movie a lot. I love Michael J. Fox. If you take him out of this movie, you get Teen Wolf 2, which is one of the worst films ever made.
And not to interrupt your rating here, but I'm just going to say that is the biggest thing. I try not to say that. I try not to say if you take this person out of it, then you don't have a great movie. And unfortunately, this is the most like opportune time to say this for a movie. If you take Michael J. Fox out of this, I don't think you have a movie.
No,
Eric Stoltz.
No.
There you go. They could have switched.
It would have been too serious.
Why did Michael J. Fox have to take both movies?
See?
But my biggest issue in rewatch is like, this movie doesn't mean anything. Like, what's the moral of this story? Is it be yourself? But like,
be yourself.
But it's not be yourself. Or it is, because like, be yourself. Does that mean like be Scott Howard? Or does, but the wolf is you too. But you don't be. You're not going to be either of them. Is it that you're like tired of being average? So like, get special powers, but then also just go, I don't want them anymore.
Yeah.
This is a superhero movie, pretty much.
But is it? Like, because then he doesn't use his superhero powers.
Oh, look at the poster. He's doing the Superman thing.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. Like, it's lower than I thought it was going to be. It's hard to look back and say I gave it the top number one ranking of my 85 movies. I hadn't seen it in a long time. So I'm a 5.4.
Yeah.
I'm going to go lower than you guys. Josh Miller says, I'll start off and I'm sure you guys are going to hit this, but this was filmed at the same time as Back to the Future and released 1 month later in 1985. And this, in my opinion, became very evident in the quality between the two. The writer and director largely went on to do nothing else. Zemeckis went on to an illustrious career. Teen Wolf is not nearly as good as I remember. The movie feels very choppy, the acting largely not good, minus Fox and the guy who played the dad. No one really went on to anything bigger. Not that the dad did either, but he was a father figure in a lot of movies, or maybe two movies, I don't know. The special effects, the sound editing is so bad. My girlfriend and I kept talking a lot about it, and I kept comparing it to Back to the Future and how much better it was for the same time period. She's extra critical of 80s movies. I'm more forgiving. Was there a massive budget difference? Did you also catch the Spider-Man moment when his dad tells him with great power comes great responsibility?
Yeah.
Is it weird that my punchable face is Michael J. Fox? I do want all of Styles or Boner's t-shirts. How this movie currently has the IMDb score it has is shocking to me. This movie has not held up at all, and I'm not sure why I liked it when I did. Even for the time period, it's much worse than a lot of its counterparts. I don't see myself ever watching this again. I never watched the MTV version or the Jason Bateman sequel, but they have to be better, right? I don't think they are.
I'm sorry, man.
My modern day score is a 4.23. This is one of the few movies where Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb scores don't coincide. So that takes us to a 5.66 for a joint rating, which is going to be pretty low, guys. It's not the bottom. But that is going to be bottom 15 for us, guys. That is going to be right above Mortal Kombat, just below Kindergarten Cop.
Okay.
Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I accept that. You accept 100%. That? Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Sean, for helping bring that up a little higher than it needed to be.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you, Josh, for keeping us real.
That's right.
Right in the middle, baby.
There we go.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week. We are doing Coming to America.
Can't wait.
Our first Eddie Murphy movie, finally. And then we follow that up with Sean gave our Patreon members a choice of 5 movies.
What did they do?
They picked Clue.
All right.
They pick Klum. All right. I think they think that that, I think they're voting thinking of what we're going to do the best at.
Okay.
Is what I'm thinking that they're voting on. So if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year. We did Groundhog Day.
Got to.
As Groundhog Day is approaching, you need to rewatch that movie.
You need to see the Groundhog?
You need to go rewatch and re-listen to our episode. And don't forget, we have a voicemail. Call us at 319-804-9596. Leave us feedback like today's caller.
Gentlemen, this is Francisco from San Diego. And I just want to say that I am a huge fan of the podcast. I've been listening for close to 2 years, ever since episode 3 of Lethal Weapon. And I must say, you guys are hilarious each and every time. I love your guys' nostalgic ratings. I love you guys just talking about films in general. And you see, hear that passion, that love. What I would love to recommend and throw out there, I think it was already said previously in one of the voicemails, The Crow. That's my favorite film. Randomly, he was an absolute gem. And it's sad that he's not here today. But aside from that, two more gems in my life would have to be either Gleaming the Cube with a young Christian Slater,
nice,
or Airborne, which I'm not sure what the name of the main actor is, but Mitchell Seth Beeson. Green, Jack Black, you get all them color actors in there. You know, you're probably going to get Jonathan Blue or Stephen Purple, but hey, you know what? It's all good, baby. Thank you guys so much. Damn dang it.
You'll be happy to know Airborne will be on my next Patreon movie vote that's coming up here. So
nice.
All those Patreon members, you got to make Airborne happen, because I truthfully believe it may end up being our best episode of all time if we do Airborne. But I know there's probably a lot of people out there that haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Thank you, Francisco from San Diego.
Francisco. That's fun to say. Thank you, Francisco. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching on YouTube. Make sure you're checking us out anywhere on social media at Confused Breakfast. Just search for Confused Breakfast. Leave us a review as well. We love reading them. We love seeing those 5 stars, and unfortunately some other ones too. But we love the reviews. Keep them coming, guys.
Go to ConfusedBreakfast.com to see our ratings of all these movies that we do. See our individual ratings and our ratings as a whole on the show. You can also go to that same website and get some merch, get some shirts, get some coffee mugs, get whatever you want. It's probably there.
Patreon.com/ConfusedBreakfast. Best way to support this podcast. Movie votes, upcoming episodes, bonus episodes every single week. Private Discord channel. That is the best way you guys can support us. Check out all of our sponsors. The show is produced by LAS Media Group here in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to Craig for manning the controls. Check them out, LAS Media Group. And if you haven't heard, we are global now, boys.
Whoa.
We are now on the Cloud 10 podcast network that is also powered by iHeartMedia.
Whoa.
Things are crazy right now.
Selling out.
We're selling the fuck out, and it feels good.
Yeah.
We're like Limp Bizkit after $3 Bill Y'all came out.
Yeah. Basically.
We're riding Nookie as we speak.
Dude, we are new era committed.
We're basically Kid Rock.
Go to cloud10.fm to learn more about them. That's it for us. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.